Whenever I hear that song, because that's an inner city song favorite. And beautiful tune, beautiful song, beautiful words. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Now you got to mean it now. Make sure you mean it. We're glad you're here this morning. We're going to continue talking about how we can grow spiritually in a exhausted and tired culture, a fast-paced culture that we live in. But before we do that, I think we need to have a redneck reading test. Ready? MR Ducks. MR Not. SAR. Sam Wangs. LIB. MR Ducks. Now, you try it, okay? I want you to all do it together now. Next one. MR Mice, MR Not, SAR, CM Itty Bitty Feet, IB, MR Mice. Y'all did really good on that. A bunch of rednecks. When you first saw that test, it wasn't what you thought it was, right? You thought Mr. Ducks, you know, what's Mr. Ducks and all that stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you today that it's the same with growing spiritually. We think we understand how to do it, but I really don't think we do when it boils down to it. Last week we talked about why we're not growing spiritually, and we looked at some wonderful texts. We asked the question, why is my life so full yet I feel so empty? And I hope you were encouraged by that. I learned that, you know, wrong priorities, distractions, lack of commitment, all those things contribute to a reason why we're not growing in our life and why we feel empty on the inside. So today I want to talk about some very liberating truths. I think you're going to walk out of here today and you're going to be like, wow, this is a life changer lesson. If you really listen to what I'm saying, this will change your life and your whole perspective of following Jesus. So let's pray together as we go. Lord God, there is no God but you, and we honor you today as our creator, our maker, our sustainer. We love you, and we're nothing without you. And Father, I think for a lot of us in this room, we have some very misunderstandings about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to grow spiritually, and I know I have. And I pray today that your Holy Spirit, we invite your Holy Spirit to clarify and to teach us. And Father, help me to teach clearly today so people understand these wonderful truths. I thank you for the opportunity today to bring you glory, and I pray, Lord, that you will hide me behind the cross, so that people see Jesus and people see your word. And I ask, Father, that you be glorified in everything that's said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we talk about how to grow spiritually, I think you need to make sure you understand some foundational truths, okay? One is, what happened the moment you were baptized? The moment you decided, I want to be a follower of Jesus, I want to say, yes, I believe he is the Son of God, yes, I'm ready to follow Christ in my life, what happened at that moment? I love this passage from Hebrews 10 because it is one of those gem of a verses that you really don't understand until you start looking at what it's saying. Because by one sacrifice, and we're saying the cross, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Let's look at that verse real quickly. He has made perfect forever. God has made perfect forever. We stand positionally, if you have your outline, pull your outline out and walk with me. Every time you see a yellow word that's underlined, you want to write that in there. So, in your blank spot there. So we stand positionally righteous before God, because we trust in Jesus and the finished work of the cross. That is one of the most important truths about being a follower of Jesus that you can understand. That you're not right with God because you get it all together. You're not right with God because you come to church or because you pray. You're right with God because you trust in Him. You trust in the finished work of Jesus. It's called being justified by faith. Paul called that in the book of Romans. God says you're not guilty, declares you not guilty, because you're trusting in His Son. Okay? So we are positionally righteous before God because of Jesus Christ, because we've put our trust in Jesus Christ. But we're also being made holy. Present tense. God also wants us to grow into Christ-likeness. So there's a sense that we are right before God because we're continuing to trust Christ daily for our salvation. But we're also under construction. We're needing growth. We're needing to grow. We're needing to become more patient, to become more loving, to become more joyful. You fill in the blank. You understand what I'm saying. The important truth to understand when you were baptized into Christ is you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, the power to change, comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from me. I have been clean for 23 years from drugs and alcohol, not because of something I have done, but because of the Spirit of God living inside me. Jesus Christ set me free, and He can set you free from whatever sins you're struggling with. The power to change comes from Him. So does that mean we just, you know, sit back and do nothing? You know, it's interesting with a sailboat. You can have the nicest sailboat on the planet, get it all ready, but if you don't have any wind, it doesn't do nothing. And it's the same with Christ, with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the wind that moves us, that moves our sailboat, that changes us. And we have a part to play. We have a part to play in all this. Obedience, following, making godly decisions daily. Those are all things that we need to be doing. Training to build spiritual muscle. And when I talk about training, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about fasting. Those things that will help you build the spiritual muscle. That's the part we play in it. So this is the will of God. Your sanctification. In street terms, that means this is one of the things God wants you to do. He wants you to grow into Christ-likeness. Sanctified means to be set apart. Okay, God says, I want to set you apart to help you grow to be like my Son. Because imagine if we're all a bunch of little Jesuses walking around in our communities, in our schools, what kind of impact we can have on the world. And God wants to have that impact, by the way. He wants you to be salt and light to the community, to the job place, to the workplace, wherever you work tomorrow. How does He do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us, helping us grow. So how have we generally approached growing spiritually? We've generally had, you know, three ways, I think, that we've generally approached it. Number one is legalism. We also call this rule-keeping. This is the don't do this and don't smoke and don't cuss and don't drink and make sure you wear a dress on Sunday and don't dance on Friday and all these little silly rules that we make up because we think if we obey these rules, we'll be righteous if we do them. And the danger in being a rule keeper is you will be a failing rule keeper very quickly. You'll fail every time. And the problem with these folks is they have more confidence in being right or going to the right church. They feel like I'm right because I do that. No, they have more confidence in that than in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's a great sin. When I'm trusting in my own righteousness instead of the cross and what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. Legalism. What happens when you treat Christianity as a bunch of rules that you keep? Well, you become a self-righteous hypocrite who judges everybody around you about how well they keep the rules. And that's basically how America views Christianity. They view Christians in this light. We're just a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites who think we're better than everybody else. That's how I viewed Christians 25 years ago. And when I became a Christian, August 8th, 1990, I was so excited about my faith and I was so excited about God, but I failed to understand an important truth. That Jesus Christ saves you by His grace. He saves you 100% at the cross, and you in turn respond to that grace out of love and gratitude in your heart. You obey because you love, not because you're trying to make God love you more. And so I got on the performance treadmill. I was trying to perform, Jack. I wanted God to love me more. So I was got on my treadmill. And boy, I got tired after a while. And I realized I cannot measure up to this. And I seriously, in January 2nd, 1992, I remember the date, it's clear as day. I seriously considered leaving Christianity, Ronnie. I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do it. I can't be a Christian. I can't be perfect. And God's providence, I had a book in my hand at that point written by David Chadwell called Having the Faith of Abraham. And he was talking in there about grace and about forgiveness and how God sees you. And I came to this little section where it says, he says, following baptism, the believer continues to be identified by God as a righteous person, even though we will always be imperfect and struggle with sin because of his or her continual faith or trust in Jesus to save us from our sins. And it was like a light bulb went on off of my head. I'm like realizing, oh, that's what it's about. Oh, that makes so much sense. And I realized that I was saved because of the cross of Christ, and I was trusting in Jesus, but I was under construction at that point. That God wanted me to grow. So we obey God out of love and gratitude for the cross. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. Amen? And our works prove that, man, that their faith is real. I'm not saved by them, but it proves that my faith is genuine. So legalism suffocates. It suffocates the life out of people. All these do's and don'ts and trying to measure up, we can't. We measure up. And folks that are in that mindset, they say, I hope I've done enough. Well, guess what? You haven't. There's no way that we could ever do enough. Mother Teresa didn't do enough. But Jesus Christ did. On that cross, he said, it is finished. It is done. It is sufficient to save me. And it alone. All I have to say to God on Judgment Day is to get on my knees and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm putting my trust in the finished work of the cross. Not in anything that I have done, but what He has done. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's about what He did. And you live in a legalistic, rule-keeping relationship with God. I wouldn't even call it a relationship. You're going to say stuff like that. I'm not sure if God loves me. Because you base your everything on how well you perform, how well I performed that day. Well, I didn't perform that well. I guess God doesn't like me today. Oh, that's so dangerous. Please, please, understand grace. Understand the cross. It's the most liberating truth you'll ever find. Well, another way that we try to grow spiritually is we say, well, I'm going to try harder, okay? I'm going to get my willpower out, and I'm going to try to be a better Christian. You know what we say? We're sitting in Bible class, or we hear a sermon, and somebody's talking about patience. This is a great one. Somebody's talking about patience. Okay, we resolve, tomorrow I'm going to be a more patient person. And guess what happens? You run into some jerk at the bank or someplace, and you're not patient. And you fail very quickly. For a lot of Christians, that's where a lot of Christians live. I'm going to try harder. We live in this constant maze of trying to do better. And we're constantly failing. Ask any alcoholic or any addict to try to stop an addiction by your own willpower is absolutely fruitless. Why? Because of our sinful nature. We cannot stop by our own willpower. We have to have power from God to do that. Well, if we don't, you know, do the rule-keeping thing, and if we don't do the willpower thing, well, we can pretend to be spiritual. We can show up and say the amen. We can say, yeah, amen, brother, and praise the Lord, and use all the right religious words, and then Jesus calls that hypocrisy. Praying and singing and giving and serving without the heart. Doing it for show, doing it as just a religious ritual to get through so I can beat the Baptist to the steakhouse. That's how a lot of us live. We're not going to grow spiritually by those three ways, guaranteed. And how we've generally approached it is the reason why we're so empty and we were so frustrated and we're so tired. We need to move on towards authenticity in our lives. We need to come into church, and when somebody asks you, how are you doing, you don't say, fine, you say, my life stinks. And I want to tell you why. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If they don't want to listen to you, Bruce, then they can walk away. But I think it's time that we become authentic people and say, all is not well in my house. I'm struggling. Oh, we don't want to burden people. We won't want to burden people. Let me tell you something. There is not one person in this room that would not want to listen to another brother or sister talk about their struggles and be able to offer some encouragement and pray with them. Amen? We need each other. And we need to move towards authenticity. That's what creates fellowship. Fellowship is not sitting at a table and eating. Fellowship is getting into each other's lives and saying, you know, I'm struggling, you struggling? Yeah, well, let's pray about it together, okay? That's fellowship, authentic fellowship. So how does God want us to approach growing spiritually? We know that our way doesn't work. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 7. So the trouble is not with the law, for it's spiritual and good. The Old Testament's fine. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. You ever say that to yourself? For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am, the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary that's ever lived, a guy that saw Jesus Christ, he says, I am a miserable person. Who is going to free me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? You see where Paul's going? Here's an apostle saying he's struggling with sin. I can't change myself, he's saying. Only Jesus Christ can change me. So first, authentic change comes when we say, you know, I'm the problem. I'm not going to blame so-and-so. I'm not going to go on Jerry Springer and say it's all this person's fault over here. Those shows would not exist if people didn't blame people. But when people say, you know, it's me. It's my fault. I cannot change. I cannot do it myself. I need somebody to rescue me. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Secondly, spiritual growth happens in the midst of a daily relationship with God. We're not going to grow if we come here on Sunday, punch the clock, and leave, and that's our Christianity for the week. We're not going to grow spiritually that way. It's got to be a daily thing. Jesus says, come to me. Not to religion. Come to me. All you who are weary and you're burdened. Why are you weary and burdened? You're weary and you're burdened because you're rule-keeping and you're trying to live and change yourself by your own willpower. He says, you're weary because of that. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. That was a rabbinic way of, for a rabbi when he had followers, that would be a rabbinic way of saying, be like me. Follow me. Take my way of living upon you. And when Jesus says, take my yoke, he's saying, follow me, be like me, imitate me, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Why? Jesus is not a legalist. He's not a rule keeper. It's about a relationship with him. He not only saves you, he empowers you to obey him. That's what the Holy Spirit has power to set us free from sin. My yoke is easy. He's not saying that it's easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Jesus wants all of us. He wants total commitment. Just like any of us in a marriage want, would you want to marry somebody that's not all in? Would you want somebody that says, hey, I like to date on the side. Is that okay? Of course not. The same with Jesus. When he says, I want you to follow me, he's saying, I want you to be all in with me. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but I want you to be faithful to me. That's why the yoke is easy, because he empowers us to do what we can't do. He invites anyone to have a relationship with him. Drug addict? Anyone. Homosexual? Anyone. Prisoner? Gangbanger? Divorcee? Anyone. And that's what's so liberating about the cross. It's welcome to all who will come to him. Spiritual growth, thirdly, is not an individual thing, but it's lived out in community. In other words, you can't be a follower of Jesus unless you have a church family. You can't do it by yourself. God didn't design it that way. How are you going to learn how to forgive? How are you going to learn how to deal with difficult people? How are you going to discover about yourself unless you're around people? And you can sit all day and study your Bible, and you can clock the hours in. Yes, I prayed for 2 hours. I read the Bible for 3. And you could be the biggest jerk on the block when you get around people. You want to know what is a great measure of spiritual growth? This is what I'm going to tell you. This is worth everything today. You want to know if you're growing spiritually? Am I growing closer to God in love for him and love for his people? That's how we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually, yes, by spending time with him in prayer, and I'm not de-emphasizing that. But where it's played out is in right here. Where it's played out is in your home, in your community. How do I treat people? How do I treat people when I leave this place? You know, and here it could be, hey, praise the Lord, brother. And then you get down the road, hey, what's that guy doing? Am I judgmental? Am I critical towards people? Or am I compassionate? What kind of person am I? Am I approachable? Would a drug addict feel comfortable around me? Would a prostitute want to come talk to me? Would the poor want to come into this place and talk to us? Are we approachable? Jesus Christ was approachable. Anybody could come to him. Children felt comfortable around him. Addicts felt comfortable around him. Prostitutes, everybody. Because he was filled with love. Do I care about the poor? Are my words building up or tearing people down? We have such power with our words. Do you realize how you can destroy another human being for life with your words? You can murder people. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. You can murder people with your words. So what kind of person am I? If I'm growing spiritually, my love for God and my love for people should be increasing. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. For anyone who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. God tests us daily with people. Don't you see that? Don't you see that last week? He tested you with the people he brought into your life. Those difficult people, those annoying people. And we want the upper hand, right? You know, I'm right and you're wrong. God says, let's try this again. Spiritual growth comes, fourthly, from focusing on the inward, God says. If God's approach to growing spiritually always focuses on the heart. We get it backwards. We get it reversed. We think it's all about the outward. It's about the physical. If I get the outside right, if I put on the right dress, if I talk the right talk. No. The Lord says, if you get the inside right, the outside will follow. And by the way, spiritual transformation belongs to me. All right? Now, this is where we come in. We can do some things to place ourselves where God can work. Prayer, study, all those things. Put us in a place where God says, now I can transform them. This is the most liberating truth I think I've heard in a long time. And it's from a scholar named Dallas Willard who's gone to be with Jesus just in the last year. Stop trying harder and start training using the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible study, all those things are training elements to help us to grow in our walk. There is a huge difference between training to do something and trying to do something. You know, and I go back to that idea of you're in a Bible class and you hear, well, you got to be more compassionate. And you say in your mind, well, I guess I'll just try to be more compassionate. And we fail. Instead of saying, you know, I need to go into training and ask God to help me be more a compassionate person. It's kind of silly when you think about it. You know, the Olympics are coming up in a few weeks in Russia. You know, can you imagine one of the reporters interviewing one of the skiers or skaters and say, you know, well, how long have you trained for this event? And they, well, I haven't trained at all. You haven't trained at all? What do you mean you haven't trained? Well, I'm going to try real hard, okay? They look at him like, you're nuts, buddy. But we often approach Christianity the same way. I'm going to try real hard instead of putting ourselves in points where God can transform us in training. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Paul's talking about the Olympics here. They had it back then at that time. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Paul is talking about effort. He's talking about giving your all. Run in such a way as to get the prize. We know that the Hebrew writer says that life is a journey. It's a run. It's a marathon. And yes, we do all win in the end because it's not about competing. But he's saying in your heart, you need run in such a way as to get the prize. Are you giving God your best? Are we giving Him the leftovers of our lives? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Give it your all. I don't want to pass the finish line saying, I got a little bit more to give. I got more I could have done. I want to pass the finish line when I die and I pass through this life. I want to say, I got nothing more to give you. I've given you my all. And that's what Paul is talking about. Run in such a way as to get the prize. What do you have inside you? Everyone in this room can run as if you're going to get the prize. If you are focused on what you're doing, you say, Jesus is Lord of my life. He is everything. I want to give Him my all. Because He deserves it. He gave me His all. I need to give Him mine. And I fail and I fall down, but I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep running in such a way as to get the prize. Spiritual growth is not a matter of trying harder. It is a matter of training wisely. Can anyone be a follower of Jesus in this room? Yes. Can anyone be like Jesus in this room? Yes. Anyone in this room. You know why? Because if you have been baptized into Christ, if you said, yes, I'm following Jesus Christ, He's my Lord, you have the same Holy Spirit that the apostles did. You have the same Holy Spirit that Paul did. You're no different. Folks in the Bible are just ordinary people. They're not some special breed. They struggled with the same fears and the doubts and the struggles that we have. But they grew in their faith the same way that we can grow in ours. And by the way, it's no magical secret. It's been the same for 2,000 years. Through prayer, through study, through fasting, through lots of other things. And that's why we're talking about this for the next couple months. Is because I want us to look at how can we grow spiritually. Maybe there's some things you've never thought about that can help you grow in your walk with God. But these are ordinary people that got caught up in the will of God. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Ah, there it is. Thank you, Paul. For physical training is of some value. Derek will tell you that. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. In other words, if you spend time in prayer, that's not wasted time. If you spend time reading God's Word, that's not wasted time. All those things are focusing you and helping you prepare for eternity. So learning to be like Jesus, it's not about trying. Put that word out of your mind. It's about training. The spiritual disciplines. And the spiritual disciplines are fasting, prayer, worship, study, service, confession, all these things that the New Testament talks about. Spiritual discipline is any activity that can help me gain power to live life as Jesus taught it and modeled it. Any activity. Now, I'm going to come back to that as we close here in just a minute. Any activity. And this is the heart of any 12-step program. If you go to AA or Narcotics Anonymous, if you go to Celebrate Recovery, they're all going to tell you the same thing. The first step is, I cannot change on my own strength. I cannot stop my addiction by my own willpower. Therefore, I need to arrange my life around practices and disciplines in my life. I need to do a moral inventory of myself. I need to confess my sins to a stranger. I need to share all those things within that context. In other words, I go into training for sobriety. That's why people get off addictions, is because they've gone into training and they found disciplines and practices that help them get away from that and that thinking. To grow spiritually, I must enter a lifetime of training. A lifetime. Doing these disciplines places us in a space where God can work and transform us and build that spiritual muscle. In other words, the fruit. You know, Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, it's not the fruit of Chris. I can't love and have joy and peace and kindness and goodness and all that stuff. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's how God transforms me when I place my life in His hands and I'm studying and I'm reading and I'm fasting and I'm growing. That's where the Lord transforms me. Does that make sense? Y'all understand? Amen? Am I making sense this morning? Things to avoid, okay, as we talk about the disciplines. There's only three things that you need to avoid. Avoid turning prayer and fasting and Bible study into a legalistic exercise where it becomes a rule that you have to do. Spend time with God because you want to spend time with God. Not because, oh, it's 9 o'clock, I have to spend time. Do it because you want to spend time with Him. Secondly, avoid thinking that doing the disciplines measures how spiritual you are. I prayed, I fasted. You know, that's what the Pharisees were big into that. It doesn't measure how spiritual you are. Are you growing in your love for God and love for people? That's how you know you're growing spiritually. Thirdly, avoid comparing yourself to others. Everyone grows differently. Everyone in this room is different. We all grow at different rates. We all have different ways of the things that touch us and move us, but we're all different. As I close, I know what some of you are thinking. I have 3 kids. I have absolutely no time during the day. It's very hard for me to have any time for myself. I work 12 hours a day. Are you kidding me, Chris? You know, you're talking about, you make me think I got to be some kind of spiritual giant or something. No. We'll talk about this in the coming weeks, but if you start with God with 5 minutes a day, give God 5 minutes. That love will start creeping in and you'll suddenly want 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It will grow very strongly. But any activity of life can be a moment to grow spiritually. And I don't want you moms especially to miss out on this truth. Because if we ask God, God will help us grow through every season. Do you realize caring for children is one of the most joyous things you can do as a human being? You learn about servanthood. You learn about patience. You learn about God teaches you so much with the children. My daughter, Sarah, has taught me more about God than I learned in any Bible class or Bible college. God has made it very practical and shown me, yeah, Chris, that's just what you're doing. And it teaches me. I have learned so much just by having a daughter. By working in a difficult place, do you realize where you're going tomorrow? It may not be the great... I know what you're some of you are thinking. I got to go to work tomorrow. Oh, man. And you work with a bunch of guys that are cussing and pagan. I mean, horrible situation. But let me tell you something. God has brought you there. You're His representative. And you make God look good. You can make God look good. Because your presence, believe it or not, is preaching very strongly. I know what it's like to work with a bunch of guys, it's very difficult. I've been there. I worked for a sound company for several years. I know what it's like to work in a difficult place. Have you ever thought that God may have called you there for a purpose, to be His representative? Maybe the teenagers, you know, I know going to school is difficult when you have a bunch of kids that are saying, let's party, let's smoke weed, let's drink, let's, you know, and it's hard to be around that every day. The cussing, all that stuff. But remind you too, you're in the same situation. You can make God look good. Say, Lord, I want to make you look good today. Love people. They will speak so strongly. I still remember Troy Sawyer from high school. I made Troy's life miserable in high school. He was a Christian, and I made fun of him. I cussed him out all the time. He was always nice to me. Always. Never retaliated, and I've never forgotten that. And it spoke to me. For older people that are dealing with illnesses, God can use that as a way to teach us dependence upon Him. All these things, all these seasons of life, God can use. So what have we learned today? Spiritual growth is not rule-keeping. It's not trying harder. It's not pretending. It is being real, first of all, and saying, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need Jesus to come into my life and rescue me. Spiritual growth is lived out in community, where we learn that spiritual growth is, you know, am I loving God? Am I loving people more? Those areas. Spiritual growth involves an inward change, God tells us, that will influence the outward change. And it's not about trying harder. It's about training, going into training and looking at it from that perspective. I'm in training. I'm learning. I'm growing. Instead of trying hard. So this week, your only homework is this week. I want you to get alone with God today. Or you're driving to work tomorrow by yourself. When you're by yourself, ask yourself and ask God. Say, Lord, how am I doing loving people? How am I doing loving you? And God will show you, I believe, with all my heart. Next week, we're going to be talking about prayer, beginning several weeks of prayer that I think you'll really enjoy. So let's all stand for prayer. And I know everybody in this room, including myself, I feel extremely inadequate at times. I don't feel worthy to be a follower of God. And I make mistakes and I fail and I fall down. And I'm just going to pray a prayer on all of us, our behalfs, because I think we could all say the same thing. So let's pray together. Well, God, thank you for this liberating truth today, that growing and following Jesus is not about trying hard. It's about going into training. Thanks for showing us, Lord, that anyone can seek you. Anyone can follow your Son if they will submit their lives to you. We ask that the Holy Spirit will create in us, Father, pure hearts. Set us free from any legalism and forgive us for our hypocrisy, Father. Transform us, change us, mold us into the people you want us to be. Mold us into Christ-likeness. Wash us clean of our sins and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for giving you the leftovers of our lives. I confess I have not given you fully my life at times and held back, and I ask your forgiveness today. Help us run the race like we want to win, to give you our all, and Father, and to hold nothing back. Lord Jesus, we want to make a commitment to you to give you our best. This week, Lord, give us opportunities to love difficult people at work and school, to serve the least, and to be stretched spiritually this week. Please stretch us, Father, this week. We don't want to stay where we are. Help us become just like your Son. In Jesus' name. And the whole church said, today, if you are ready to begin your walk with God, man, this would be a great day to do that. And we do have a young lady that is going to be beginning her walk with the Lord. Denise, we're excited that you're here. We're excited to be a part of that. But if there's anybody else today that is ready to begin your walk with God, this would be a great day to do that. Because the question we all have to wrestle with is, if Jesus were to come right now, are we confident we'd be in heaven with him? If we were to die today, where would you go? We've got to prepare our lives for eternity. What does the Bible ask us to do? If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, in my heart, I know I've sinned against God, and I've hurt God with my sin, and I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. I can't save myself. I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. God asked me to repent, which means to stop going my way, which is what sin is, and make a 180 and start going God's way in my life, to put my trust and follow him and obey him. Baptism is where we begin that walk with God, where we are born again of the Holy Spirit, born again of and God refreshes us and restores us spiritually on the inside, and he changes us and begins that transformation process that lasts a lifetime and into eternity. Today, if you're ready to do that, we can baptize you today. Maybe today you're just wanting prayer, whatever your need is. Won't you come as we sing this song?